My name's Chris Raymer,
recovered alcoholic. Before I get started on this, we want to talk a little bit about sponsorship and the idea of working these steps quickly in a timely manner. I want to mention something to you. There's a book out there. It's out of print right now. It's called How It Worked. It's the story of Clarence Snyder. You can download it if you Google How It Worked. It'll show up. It's written by a guy named Mitchell Kay out of New York. He's a buddy of mine. He's an archivist, and he got to spend a bunch of time with Clarence Snyder, who was one of the original members of Alcoholics Anonymous. He eventually broke away from AA and did his own thing. But I got a copy of it here if you want to flip through the little book. But it's absolutely packed with some clear, concise guidance of what they did in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous when we had a terrific success rate in our fellowships. And some of the pitfalls that have come our way as a result of watering the message down. Peter talked earlier about this stuff called middle-of-the-road solution. The book says that won't work for the real alcoholic or the real dope fiend. So what we want to do is try to stay focused on what will work. And unfortunately, what will work sometimes takes a little effort. People always amaze me. You know, I've never talked to an alcoholic or an addict yet that didn't, I want to get sober more than anything in the world, you know, and then you start telling them what they have to do, and then they start crawfishing on you, you know. I want to stay sober right up until the time it starts to get uncomfortable, you know, or inconvenient, you know, and then I'm going to start rationalizing why I'm not as bad as you and want to back out. And we're going to be faced with that, folks. Very few of us will get to the spot where we will say, I'm willing to go to any length. And that's what the book asks us in How It Works. If you've reached a spot where you're ready to do whatever it takes, then you're ready to take certain steps. I don't know why it is in our fellowship that these little terms like easy does it. What? How many of y'all have heard that in AA? Easy does it? You know, I don't know. That term is taken out of context more than anything else that we say in AA. I love the term easy does it. With my wife, easy does it. You know what I'm saying? With my kids, with life, you know, I mean, it's in the chapter Family Afterwards is where it talks about with our family, easy does it. But it's always taken out of context where you, easy does it with the steps, you know, like, that's not what it's saying. The book says, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. That's always interpreted, take your time to work the steps. That's not what that says. Fearless and thorough from the very start. And that's what I want you guys to see. Hopefully, after we finish, I'm going to kind of speed through this because I want to kind of give you an overview and let Peter make some comments. And we're getting such great questions. There's some of you guys are asking great questions. We want to try to answer those. And this is my last shot at you today. So I'll be around tonight. We can visit any of y'all that want to come up. And you'll have to start the conversation. You know me. So come on up. I want to talk to you. I'm just not going to talk to you. So there. But I'm out of here tomorrow, and maybe my head will unplug on the way back. I don't know what this is about. We talked earlier, all of the original guys in the textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous worked the steps rapidly. You know, the history book talks about Ebbie Thatcher, a little guy, couldn't stay sober. Roland, who's the cat that got with Carl Jung and eventually had his spiritual experience, he's working in a mission helping cats down there, and he runs across Ebbie. He takes him to his house, and over the next 2 weeks, he fattens Ebbie up a little bit, gets him some food, and then he works him through the 12 steps. Originally, then, at that point, there were 6 steps, but it was all things different. Is that they've exploded them into 12. But the same idea was embedded in the 6 steps. And they worked Ebbie through. 2 weeks later, you know, a few weeks later, the book talks about, he goes, gets on a bus and goes and finds Bill Wilson. You with us? They share a few stories, then he sets the hook, talks about having a spiritual experience, and then shows Bill Wilson how to do it. Bill gets drunk a few more times afterwards. They go to a mission, he gets squashed, gets up, talks forever. The storybooks are great around it. But the long and short, Bill ends up back in detox, finishes doing the work, and has his spiritual experience. And they take it to Dr. Bob, Bill D, and number 4, and number 5, and number 6. Why is it that we have to try to reinvent the wheel? Why can't we just walk in those cats' footsteps and get the same results? Because all of those guys were getting sober. Great success rate. I was looking at some statistics earlier. In Dallas, Texas, some of y'all have heard me talk about this, there's 131 AA groups in Dallas, Texas, if this month. 131 AA groups. It's close to 1,500 meetings a week. You with us? 82% of those are open discussion meetings. There's only 8% that are literature-based meetings. And we wonder why our success rates are the 8% we talked about this morning. Because the literature that shows us how to do the work, we're not going to talk about. So, some of y'all might have heard of an author named Ernie Kurtz. Ernie is a prolific writer, and he still writes extensively. I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't know how his health is now, but he's a gentleman that wrote a book produced by Hazleton called Not God. It was actually his dissertation that he did on the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he got into the nooks and crannies, and it wasn't the clean, polished up AA approved. You know, he got to talk about all the problems that we had in the early days, all the hassles that these guys went to come up with this program. It's pretty fascinating stuff. But Ernie, in some of his literature, in one particular article, he talks about, and I won't use his terms because they're a little vague, but he talks specifically about a little window of opportunity. A nice girl comes in and she's a drunk and she wants some help. And she comes in and she sits in a group and she starts to flourish. You know, y'all seen it? And she starts to catch fire with this and she gets excited about her life. We want to minimize it. We call it a pink cloud. You know, it's I don't know if they do it here in America. It's just ruthless. You know, you come in and smile too much. You know, we're talking about you, baby. I'm telling you. You know, she's just on a pink cloud. You know, people are still waiting 18 years for me to fall off my pink cloud and bust my ass. I mean, that's there's no such thing as a pink cloud, folks. It's called God's grace, and it's documented, folks. Many of us in this room have experienced it. We didn't do hardly anything when we got here. And we started getting some real results really quick. We started getting excited about recovery. And that's this window of opportunity that Ernie says we should take advantage of and do the work. Now, these guys that started Alcoholics Anonymous were a lot stupider than Ernie Kurtz. This is all hindsight looking back. What he's explaining is what the original members of Alcoholics Anonymous knew intuitively. Why do we wait till the obsession to drink returns to her and she starts to come apart at the seams before we jam her in the steps? Why don't we get her when she's happy, joyous, and free for that window of opportunity? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for 7 years and can't get sober. But I have little windows when I feel pretty good sitting in those meetings, because I'm 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm going to meetings, but I'm not getting the definite spiritual experience that I need. But then everybody's not telling me that I need to do that. And I'm looking around the room that I'm seeing what you're doing, and you ain't worked the fourth step yet, so why should I? And that's the stuff that kills alcoholics. I said it last night. The newcomer doesn't know what to ask. The newcomer doesn't understand this. It's our job to teach him. If he's willing, let's help him understand that there is a process to go through. I hear people all the time. This spiritual experience is not an experience. It's a process. This not cussing is getting tough for me. I'm going to tell you, that's absolute rubbish. That's ridiculous. I'm going to tell you, that night that I sat on the tailgate of my truck and looked around and I was surrounded by liquor stores and realized that the obsession to drink had lifted from me. And my cocaine dealer lives in the apartment complex where I live, and I don't want to do cocaine. I got money in my pocket, nobody around, and the obsession has gone. Now, buddy, I want to tell you, that was an event, one that I'll never forget. We make this sound like this is such a process that for the rest of our lives we're going to be struggling. Please, you know, one day at a time, going to the... What? This is ridiculous. It's rubbish. It's stupid. It's an event, folks. You're either placed in a position of neutrality or you're not. Go with us on that? Yeah, a window of opportunity. And I don't know. Sometimes that window lasts a few weeks. Sometimes that window lasts months. Sometimes it's very short. Sometimes it's long. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that when I get a guy and he wants me to sponsor him, I get him through the work as quick as possible. Because when the obsession to use returns, he's going to go use. And I'm not going to be able to stop it. Ooh, you can't remember your last drink? You probably haven't had it. That's rubbish. The book says on page 24, we're not going to remember. It's guaranteeing me I won't remember my last drink. When the obsession to use returns, I'll forget that I'm on probation. I'll forget the promise I made to the wife. I'll forget everything, and I will go use. Isn't that your experience? What we need is the spiritual intervention so that that doesn't come back. That's what a recovered alcoholic and addict is. But I'm bummed. I'm going to give you a little rundown here. Guy comes and asks me to sponsor him. I get pretty directional with him pretty quick. First thing, why do you want me to sponsor him? Because I don't want him to do the work with me just because I speak out public a lot. I'm pretty high profile. I think it's the patch. People don't forget the patch. But I'm not interested in that, this ego stuff. What do you want? Well, I want what you got. You seem excited about your life. You seem to be pretty... That's the answer I want to hear. You want what I got? Then I ask him point blank, are you willing to go to any length to get what I got? We open his book and I put it on the front page of his book. I said, are you willing to go to any length? And I make him say, I am willing to go to any length. And I make him sign it. That's not in the book. That's just my little contract. Because you know, in a couple of weeks, he's going to crap out. Well, you know, I can't make that meeting tonight. I've got this and that. And I said, excuse me a minute. Would you turn to the front of your book? You with us? Because it's in early sobriety, it is extremely important that we follow some instructions. It's a narrow path there. We've got to get on this spiritual path. Ask him point blank, are you willing to work all 12 steps without reservation? He says, yes. I sit down with him. Let's assume that he's detoxed, okay? I'm not going to work with somebody that's still vibrating. Excuse me while I go throw up. No, I'm not going to do it. Give him a couple of days to get his feet on the ground. With a cocaine addict, I'll tell you this, you know, give them a Big Mac, let them sleep for 2 days, and they're ready. They're detoxed. There's detox. That's why this stuff's so deadly. We bounce too quick. Anyway, but with an alcoholic, you know, I'll give him a few days. We'll keep him close. Hug him. Keep him close. I'm going to sit down with him, and I'm going to qualify him. I'm going to find out for sure what fellowship he needs to be in. Are you an alcoholic? Are you a drug addict? Are you both? You with us? Because I don't want the little dope fiend hiding out in AA. He needs to be helping some other dope fiend. And they're not in this fellowship. They're in the other fellowship. It's not personal. I qualify him. We go through what we talked about this morning, the physical allergy, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady. And if he can identify with that, we immediately go to the second step. Not next week we'll cover second step. Immediately. We've established that he's got a fatal progressive illness in the first step. Now I'm going to make him wait a week while I get my affairs in order, is what it really boils down to. That's the bottom line. I mean, somebody tells you that they don't have time to... Don't go there, Christian. Sit down with him. Ask him, what about this spiritual stuff? Do you believe there's a power out there greater than yourself? If he says yes, we talk about it a minute, and we move on to the third step. Chapter to the Agnostic says almost half of us have been agnostic or addict. That means, and we don't ever seem to make this point, that half of us didn't have any problem with God at all. So why do we want to belabor that? I mean, I hear people in meetings all the time. I'm working on a second step. I'm working on a second step. Buddy, it's a simple question with one consideration. Are you king of the universe? No, we're past second step. Let's go to the third step. Are you willing to ask for some guidance here? Are you willing to ask a power greater than yourself that you've already chosen to be a part of your life? Yes. We're done with the third step. Let's get on our knees and do a third step prayer where we ask God to remove our difficulties so victory over those difficulties can bear witness to God's power. The coolest prayer in the book. Go down with this? I'm going to say it again. I watch you guys, but just I want to get all of this information about who is God? What does God look like? How does he affect my life? Why did all the Jews have to die in World War II? I don't know. Is that really important to discuss now while your little butt's in limbo? Let's get focused, folks. The idea is to gain access to and then believe in a power greater than ourselves. What we want to try to do is help you get this access as quick as possible. You with us? Stop wasting your time with somebody who wants to fight the God deal. Please. I'm not going to talk you into wanting this. The booze will talk you into wanting this. Go drink. This is the guys I sponsor, folks. You follow me? We do a third step prayer. We get up. The book says next we launched on a course of vigorous action. It's none of this. Next week we'll start on the now notebook. Four columns. Who are you pissed at? And I show them how to, I work them through section by section how to finish a four step rapidly. Four step, guys, was never intended to be this long drawn out thing that the treatment centers have bastardized. Never intended to be this big long life story. I have to list every person up. That's not what this is about. The literature is really specific about it. Early guys in Alcoholics Anonymous didn't even do the writing. The sponsor did. You just ask them some specific questions. I'd rather see Julia on her first four step give me 20 of the biggest resentment she's got and be done with it, than to watch her stew in her own juices for 6 months while she comes up with this big, long 200-name list. Names that she hasn't even... When's the last time you thought about that person? Oh, I hadn't thought of him in 30 years. Then what? Why are you writing it down? You're not drinking over that. You're drinking over the idiot at work and your ex and the kids and, you know, a few relatives. You follow us? Yeah, gee. We list the people, institutions, and principles we're pissed at. We do a little crappy two-column fear inventory. List the fears, why we think we got them. We do a little sex inventory about our behavior towards the opposite sex. Got nothing to do with pokey-pokey. Nothing. I could sit down with this good-looking woman right here and listen to her. If she'd done a sex inventory the way the book outlines, I could do her. She could... I could do her. Sorry. I could listen to her fifth step and never get near as red as I am right now. Never. Because we're talking about behavior. How do I treat women? It's got nothing to do with all the. It's not. Fourth step is not confession. If all fourth step was confession, the Catholics would be all sober. No, isn't that true? Isn't that true? It's a fact-finding mission. It's a fact-finding mission. I'm looking at an inventory here. Why is it that my character defects keep backing me into a corner and I keep coming out sideways causing the same problems? I keep having the same problem with women over and over and over. Why? It's not the individual person. It's what I'm doing with them that's the problem. I'm the one that needs to change, not them. Selfish and self-centeredness is the root of the problem. It's what it says on 62. I point this out to the new guy. Alcohol's not the problem. It's a symptom. It's what the book says. Selfish and self-centeredness, that's the problem. And that's what I get to see in my fourth step. I'm the most selfish, self-centered buckaroo on earth. I dump this in a fifth step with my sponsor. If I'm sponsoring this cat, I'm sitting down and I got two pieces of paper. One of them I've got character defects on the top. And on the back I've got 8-step list. And as he's talking, I'm listing his character defects. Fear, selfishness. You know, with us? Just judgmentalness. Anytime you're judging somebody, guys, it's selfish and self-centered. That's what it's about. You with us? And I'm writing this stuff down, and every time he's talking about somebody and I think maybe an amends needs to be made, I write it on that 8-step list. And that's exactly what the book says. Right after we finish the fifth step, an hour later, it says we pause. Peter read it a minute ago, the process of 6 and 7. Guys, it's 2 paragraphs. I don't care how long you want to talk about it. There's not that much meat there. You look at your basis of the steps. Have you been thorough up to this point? And you've got a list of your character defects, and you go to God with it. God, remove this crap that's blocking me from you, that's keeping me from being useful to you and others. Real simple. That's an hour after the fifth step. With me? I've got my 8-step list already, because we did it while we took a fifth step. Now I'm going to sit with the sponsee. He's going to sit with me, and I'm going to go over that list and show him how to organize that so he can get out and start making amends. Now, the book says while we're doing this, cleaning up the wreckage of our past, I'm doing 10 and 11 and 12. That's what the book says. That's why it drives me crazy when we got people sober for a year in AA and you're still not sponsoring somebody. If that is not okay. All the 11 steps we do before we get to the 12th step gets us ready to do the 12th step. If you want to keep what you... Bill Wilson says in the chapter in the front built all the time. The first chapter in the book where it talks Bill's story, when he starts talking, he says, we can't possibly survive the certain trials and low spots ahead unless we grow spiritually through work and self-sacrifice for others. You little cats that are talking about going back and changing the formats of your group, you're already catching fire. That's what this is about. Is it going to be tough? Yes. But that's my responsibility. I didn't get sober so I could just be comfortable in my skin. Complacency is what kills alcoholics and addicts. We get well, we get comfortable. We get comfortable, we sit on our butt, we let other people do what we should be doing. We don't volunteer. See, those guys in Alcoholics Anonymous, when I got back in 87 after that suicide attempt, knew that if I didn't get busy, I wasn't going to stay sober. They had me answering the phones on the cleanup committee, and they had me involved in a little service wherever I could. I couldn't 12-step somebody because I didn't know how. They showed me how. They showed me how to chair a meeting. Exactly what Peter was saying earlier. If you're around this program for a few months and you're not chairing meetings and not active, there's something wrong. You're going to struggle with this program because it's by giving that I get to receive. Make sense? 2 or 3 months, guys. I cannot tell you how many people squirm around this stuff. I was doing a talk in Seattle one time, and we went to hear a speaker over at an Indian reservation, and there was this old geezer in there that was 50-plus years sober. I mean, he was old. He's like, they had to help him to the podium, and I hope they're doing that to me someday, you know. And he shared about coming back into Alcoholics Anonymous. This was in the early days, in the late 30s when he came in. And he said he was sober about 3 or 4 days, and he was on the job working, and his sponsor drove up on his job site and handed him a notebook, said, it's time to start working on your 4-step. And there was 200 people in the audience, and they all busted out laughing. They thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. Can you imagine working on a 4-step at 4 days sober? And I'm sitting back in the back with the big book thumpers, and we're just looking and says, well, this guy's right on. He's dead on. That's how they stayed sober. Makes sense? Do the work rapidly, folks. 10, we talked to him about 10, we talked to him about 11. Help them with the meditation, and then we hit this working with others as hard as possible. You're going to go work with others. I've got a little group that's called the Mad Dogs. This little guy's just in my sponsorship lineage. And we meet every other Thursday for an hour. And we have a little accountability group. It's just, I have to be sponsoring you for you to even come to this group. It's not AA. It's not anything else. But that's what I do in my group. Is I make sure all these, there'll be 30, 35 guys in this meeting. I don't sponsor all of those guys. I sponsor guys who sponsor these guys who sponsor these guys. You with us? But we're all on the same page. We're all doing the same thing. We're working with others. You've got to introduce yourself. First and last name. None of this anonymous crap. Because if you get sick, I want to know how to find you. If you get in a jam, if you get arrested, I don't even know your last name. How can I help you? How can I be of service to you if I don't even know how to look you up in the phone book? Guys, the literature is crystal clear. You can guard your anonymity out there, but in these rooms, we're not supposed to do that. You can do it if you want to. We have an accountability. How many meetings do you go to? Who's your sponsor? How many guys do you sponsor? Name me your commitment, a weekly commitment that I have to Alcoholics Anonymous. What is my job in AA? Y'all know what I mean? My job to make coffee Wednesday night. My job is to get the greeters ready for Monday night meeting. Whatever it is, that's my job this week. That's what I share at that group. I'm accountable. 18 years sober, I do the same thing that I ask the little guys that's 1 month sober to do. I'm not telling anybody to do something that I'm not going to do myself. And I work them through the steps, and then I show them how to. They do the same thing I did with them to the newcomer. You would not believe how many of these little guys are getting sober and staying sober. I'll touch on it. I was speaking someplace not long ago, and the guy came up afterwards. He says, how many guys do you sponsor? And I said, 22. He said, that is the most arrogant thing I've ever heard. You don't have time to work with 22 people. Y'all need to hear what I'm saying. I don't sponsor by taking you on to raise. My job as a sponsor is to show you how to have a spiritual experience. I can help you with the rest of your life. You follow us? It does take time. It takes effort. But I'm getting you connected to God, and God's taking care of you. Make sense? I don't sponsor 22 men all at once. I sponsor these guys. They get on solid ground. They're out there working with others. All I got to do is check in every once in a while. How you doing, brother? How you doing? Everything's cool. And then they're over here. They'll follow us. And that's how the thing works. Dr. Bob sponsored over 5,000 people in the 15 years of his life. That's documented. Over 5,000 people. Then I'm going to come into Alcoholics Anonymous and say, I'm sober 2 years and I'm not sponsoring anybody. There's something wrong here. Our job, the traditions tell us, is to carry the message of hope back to the newcomer. Am I doing that effectively? Or am I just a meeting maker? Not knocking meetings. That's not my job. I don't go to meetings to hear anything, guys. I know what's in this book. I've had a spiritual experience. I'm surrounded by men and women that keep me straight on the line. I go to meetings to help others. I watch that meeting, and if it starts to go south, I stop it. Excuse me? I thought the topic was the second step. What are we doing talking about your cat again? The little lady says, gets pissed and leaves. So be it. Have a nice life, you and your cat. Y'all follow us? But the little guy in the back that just got here that wants to know about the second step, he's going to get to hear the rest of that. I have a responsibility. I didn't get sober just so I could be happy, joyous, and free. I got sober so I could help others. Period. It's the greatest thing I've ever done. You walk into a meeting one night and sit across the table, across the room, and watch a little guy that you're sponsoring sit down at the table, and he's got the big book open, and he's got his fingers stuck in this guy's face. Now listen here, I want you to pay attention. It's the best, you know, and it's like, you carried the message to him, now he's carrying the message to you. And you get to start to see how this ever-widening ring, starting by Evie and Bill and Dr. Bob and Bill D and those first cats, just continues to grow. Mark Houston finally carried it to me. Don Smith, my first sponsor. And I carry it to a few guys. It's just, that's how it works. You give this away, you get to keep it. You can't hoard it. And it's tough. For a shy guy like me, it's tough to sponsor. It's tough to force myself sometimes to get out of the apartment, get out of the house, and do the things that I don't want to do. Because I hear people say this from the podium all the time. I don't care what people think about me. I think that's a lie. I think we all care, don't we? None of us want to be in resistance to anybody. I don't want to stand up in a meeting and say, excuse me, the meeting's off topic, bring it back on topic. I don't want to do that. Hey, buddy, give us a break. 3 minutes here in my group. Talk 3 minutes. Shut up. You know, I don't want to do that, but I'm gonna. Because people did that for me. Make sense, guys? Working the steps like this, you shouldn't take more than 30, 40 days max to finish all 12 steps. And then they're actively working with others, helping others get sober. If my dearest friend was in this program, coming in the back door, shaking, trying to get sober, I'd rather have one of my 2 month wonders sponsor him than some of the people I see around the fellowship that's sober 15 years, bone powder dry. Well, let's do some writing around this. Excuse me? My book doesn't talk a lot about writing. My book talks a lot about action. Get off your butt. You saw the newcomer walk in? Did you get up and go shake his hand? Or did you just go back to the card game? You follow us? It's tough. I got a winning hand. You know? Damn. Walk up, gotta go shake the hand. You just gotta do what you don't want to do sometimes. I think that pretty well sums my stuff up. Peter, you want to add something to this? Be gentle.
Peter, recovered alcoholic. Just a couple of things on sponsorship. Often I'd walk into a meeting and hear someone come up to a newcomer and say, I'm your sponsor. And the newcomer is looking at him like, I didn't ask you. And one of the things I always want to get from the prospect is something we call spiritual consent. I need to have the prospect ask me to take them to the work, because that opens up the door for them being accountable to me, and for me being able to call them on things that they may not want to hear. Because if the spiritual consent isn't granted, then they have a right to say, I didn't ask for your experience, I didn't ask for your opinion, I don't want feedback on this. But once the spiritual consent is given, then it gives me the liberty to go do what I need to do to help the alcoholic. and present to him some of the many lengths that they're going to have to go through. Along with spiritual consent, when they do ask me to sponsor them and I agree, I usually don't agree right away because there's some things that they need to do. And this will vary depending on if they're brand new or going through the work again. But I'll ask the prospect to go home and if it talks about this in working with others. We loan them a copy of this book on a second visit. I'm ready to go through the 12 proposals. And what they do from the first to the second visit is read the first portion of this book to see if they're really willing to do some of the things that the book says to do. And on the second visit, if they're willing to go to any lengths to recover, then I'll work with them. And the very first thing we do is work with something called a lay-aside prayer so they can get any kind of beliefs that they have about themselves, their disease, AA, God, the big book out of the way so they can have an open mind and a new experience. And I do that whether you're here for the first time through step five, I'll do that, or you're here for the 50th time going to the work again. Make room for new. And we turn to God for that. What they also do is, our book says we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in a simple way we've just outlined. What can I do as a sponsor to help the prospect get disciplined and get responsible? Well, what I do is we're going to meet at my house a couple of days a week till we move through this work, but I'm going to give each prospect days and times to call me. Go home and read Bill's story. Call me tomorrow when it's done. Tomorrow you call me at 9 o'clock in the morning. When they call me at 11 o'clock, I'm probably not going to be home. And I'm waiting for the other call, whether, well, my cat got sick or my wife got sick. There's usually something. I forgot. And I always remind them, we never forgot to go to the bar and pay off the bar tab, did we? But suddenly we forgot to call me. So I'll tell guys, Wednesday and Friday at 9 o'clock is your times to call me. This way you can never say I can't get a hold of my sponsor because I'm going to be waiting for the phone call, right? And then Thursday night is home group, so you're going to be at my home group. And then you're going to come to my house maybe on Saturday and Sunday, and we'll sit down and go through the work. And there's been times where people are legitimately sick, and we'll do some work over the phone. I'll work with guys on the phone. I'll work with guys anywhere, but I always prefer my house. And so they're given some things to do. And they'll write out a story, as I explained earlier, and we'll walk through Bill's story and doctor's opinion and a little bit of history. And as I was sharing with someone earlier, when I get them through, when we're able to get through the 12 step, and by now they're working with others and hopefully become upstanding members of Alcoholics Anonymous, I also take them through the 12 traditions. Because we have to be not only awake, but also informed. And when we know what we belong to, we become better members, right? Rather than AA started when I got here and not being in touch with what our founding members did and had to go through. And the unwarded, ungobbled, purified message that was given away and saved so many lives. So along with the traditions, we'll work through some of our history. And so they can get to appreciate what this work is about and what AA is about. One thing I learned, though, through writing a lot of resentment inventory is I get to help others. And if they bail, I don't take it personally. Some people I'll work with, they'll start working with others and say, I'm going to go elsewhere. I want to find a new sponsor. I don't get upset about that. What I'm real clear on is I'm kind of like one of these little island floating out there. And you get the drunk who shows up, beaten up and drowning from alcohol. He shows up. I help him. And some stay ashore and some go to another place. And that's okay. I'm just here to be of service. I don't get attached to guys who either bail or want to find other sponsors. And I've caught heat from some of my own prospects. Work with some guys that don't like what I have to offer and leave ugly messages on my voicemail. I'd rather be on the firing line working with others than to be complacent, hanging around, wondering when it's going to get better. I try to make use of what I have to offer, not only with the program, specifically the program, But if I have overcome other challenges in my life, I let the prospect know, because I ante up as well as I want them to ante up. And when I'm hearing a fifth step, and they're sharing with me about some very uncomfortable, secretive things, I let them know that if there's a name for it, it's been done, and I probably did it, and or it's happened to me. So I ante up too. So if I can be of service with other areas, other challenges, I will offer that. I can talk to them about, you know, being close to filing bankruptcy. I can talk to them about being unemployed. I can talk to them about going through a divorce. I can talk about losing everything that was on the material horizon that was taken from me. I can talk to them about, you know, going through delicately. Being molested by people when you're a young boy. It's as blunt as I can be. I've gone through that, and I've been able to talk to, surprisingly, men who are really, really fearful about sharing that with another man. And by me offering that, I've had lots of men in fifth step share, and I can tell them how I've gotten past that and found some sort of spirit of forgiveness for that. So God has made me incredibly useful, not only with this, but a lot of other things. And when you hear a fifth step, we're going to hear a lot of stuff. So I wouldn't have it any other way. Another thing I like to do, is, as my sponsor has done with me, is let the prospect know that my job is to get them as independent of me as quick as possible and dependent upon God, to have an experience with God. To have an experience with God, not belief in God, not faith in God. If you do, that's great. But the goal here is to experience this power. Because when I experience this power, I have belief and faith. And so let them get independent of me and dependent on God. I will challenge all their belief systems, whether they're in AA for the first time or been here a while and have belief systems about even AA. I'll challenge. I'll do it from a talk, and I'll do it when I'm working with others. Challenge belief systems. Because some of the belief systems that we have or I currently have may kill me. And the idea is to uncover, discover, and discard. So get in there and challenge things. Lastly, you want what I have to offer. The prospect will say, they want what I have to offer. Are you willing to do what I did? Are you willing to do what I ask you? And very often, they want what you have to offer, but not all want to do the work. And beyond that, they have an idea of what this spiritual experience ought to look like. And I let them know, you have no idea what's going to happen to you. You have no idea what this is going to look like. We know if you follow the instructions in a book, we're guaranteed sobriety, right? We're going to stay sober. But what the journey is going to look like, what it will entail, and when you get to the other side, what that experience is going to be like, no one has any idea about that. And I try to discourage them from really getting attached to what the outcome would look like. Because then we're trying to describe God, and we can't do that. And they may want what I have to offer, but I let them know that their journey is their journey. It's going to be glorious, like I find mine to be. And so we get the mind out of the way. We get the thinking mind out of the way with all its limitations and all its attachments. Because I let them know up front, we're talking about experiencing God. And on our best day, we could be the most well-read people, the most worldly people, and we put it all together and it amounts to a grain of sand on a beach when we're talking about God. They need to know that going in. And we begin. And as I said earlier, they fire me, I don't fire them. Sometimes I have to call up a prospect and say, this is not going to work. I don't doubt you want to stay sober, maybe even want the 12 steps, but I'm the wrong teacher. How do you find a sponsor? I hear that a lot. I'm looking for a sponsor. But you're at the don't drink and go to meetings meeting. You don't want to look for a sponsor here. Right? You're at the put the plug in a jug meeting, the contemporary middle of the road group. You know, what are you doing here? How do I find a sponsor? Go to God. Simply, as one of his children, ask him for a teacher. Because he won't deny you a teacher to take you to him. So you show up with a pure intent. Father, I need a teacher. Show me. They're out there. And then God will do for us what we can't do ourselves. He'll connect the dots when we can't. But the big book, the 12 steps, AA, and you, God, for an open mind and a new experience, God, please let me see my truth. And I have people work with that, as my sponsor did with me, until they get to step 5. Or I should say complete step 5. Which, by the way, step 5 is part of house cleaning. When you study our book, you'll see that. It's 2 separate steps, but it's part of the whole process, 4 and 5. And by then, we get to that 6-step question where it says we can answer to our own satisfaction. They're in the experience, and they want to work with that prayer. That's great. If they don't, it's not really required from me. Uh-huh. Let me think how much time drinking consumed. And that I have a family and a job and children and some self-respect and give respect to others when I was drinking. That was my life. It took up all my time. When I get that God will do for me what I can't do for myself, and I'm aligning His will or my will with His, and I get God gives me great power, God will give me the time to work with others. Always. Whether I'm working, if I'm working 2 jobs. I know, I admire a lot, just so many women in AA who are doing this, and I'll tell you why. They have the children at home. They get the kids ready for school. Dad's off to work, you know. Gets the kids ready for school. Takes them to school. Gets them home. Takes them to, you know, soccer practice. Helps them with their homework. Prepares dinner. Does the deal at a house if she's a homemaker. And then gets out to the meeting and works with others. What an order. I can't go through with it. And God allows them to do it. Or the single parent who does stuff like that. I have a friend who's a CEO, big company, works with unbelievable amount of people, has a full plate at work and a family. God brings us to it, He'll bring us through it. So we can do that. You want to?
I'm right with you, because it can seem very daunting, this idea of what we're doing. And we're talking in great generalities here. I mean, it's like if everybody at Alcoholics Anonymous would sponsor one through the book, I mean, we would turn the entire fellowship on its ear. It would be so phenomenal. It's not that you're not sponsoring 15 women. It's that we're not sponsoring one woman. And it's like you do what you can do. I believe as a spiritual person, if there's a light side out there that wants me happy, joyous, and free, I believe there's a dark side out there that would like me stuck in my own stuff. And I believe that dark side uses my desire for solitude and complacency to separate me from working with others. You know, I'm too busy. I understand. But what I had to do was organize, with Mark's help, sponsors, other guys, men and women in the fellowship, taught me how to organize my day a little bit better. You know, I'm getting up at 15 till 8, driving like a son of a bitch to get to work, you know, and I don't do that. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. You know, it's extra time, an extra hour and a half a day that I get a chance to do my writing, to take care of some stuff that I need to do. And the guys that I work with, some of them have to go out of their way. Remember, you said you wanted what I had. So I don't have to meet you when it's convenient for you. You're going to meet me when it's convenient for me. And sometimes that's won't be convenient for you, but that's the way it works. And you just organize your rigid. It's like exercise with me is so important. You know, 2 times a week I try to get on my bicycle, and it's like Tuesdays and Thursdays I ride with a bunch of guys, and that's what I do. When I don't do that, I don't do well without exercise, and I'm back in that cycle again because I started compromising that. We get to organize our lives, and I tell you, God will help you organize it. And it'll put the cats in your life to help you do that. It's just been my experience. But working with others is not an option. And some of us are just more suited because of our lifestyle to be able to do more of it than others. It's just a given. Again, I go back to what I originally said. Do something, you're going to get the results. It's just giving up and doing nothing that causes the problem. Yeah.
I said it earlier. The steps tell me that the promises and tell me that I've ceased fighting anything or anyone, and that includes AA. I'm going to share my hope. I'm going to share my strength as much as I can with anybody that wants it. But I've got a letter in here that was written about Dr. Bob in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous and about how rigid he was and how we have to understand that the alcoholic is a very sick person and they need some guidance, they need some direction. And I think that's the reason that our fellowship has gotten dropped in the toilet the way it has is because everybody started tiptoeing around. I would rather you like me than to have you say something bad about me because I tried to tell you the truth. But if I really love you, I got to tell you the truth. Make sense? If I'm standing up here with a little booger in my nose and somebody comes up and says, "Chrissy, buddy, you got a little thingy hanging there." You know, it's just, that's my... Do I? She looked at me kind of funny. I thought, that's a real friend that's going to tell you that, you know? But what's happened in Alcoholics Anonymous, it happened when the treatment centers all started opening up and we turned our meetings into therapy groups. Well, Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole just said, okay, well, eat you doesn't, live and let live. I mean, there's a great expression that we hear around the fellowship, you know, at what point does apathy, live and let live become apathy? If I see something going wrong and I don't say it, I'm wrong, spiritually, in every realm. You don't have to, I make it sound from the podium, especially if you guys ever hear CDs of mine from years ago. I mean, I'm mean, you know, and it's like, God, I don't want this guy around me, you know. And it's like I've mellowed in my approach, but the message is still going to be the same. You want this? Let me show you how to do it. But the spiritual path we were talking about earlier is quite narrow. Quite narrow. It's anybody can come on it, but it takes some effort and some discipline to get there and to stay there. And it's, I think, my responsibility for the newcomers to show them. I don't want to piss anybody off, but I got to sleep at night too. I don't want to lay there and say, and I have in 18 years watched hundreds of people die in this program, hang themselves, shoot themselves, overdose, drink. And I sit there and have to go down the laundry list. Did I do everything in my power to try to carry the message to that cat? Or did I just turn my back because it was easier? Nah. Nah, I'm going to stand for something.
I think knowing going in that we're going to get some heat for speaking the truth will make it that much easier not to take any of that stuff personally. My group, when we first started, put together some guidelines, and a few months later we had some new members come in, and they didn't like the format. They were too harsh, too strict, and they were looking at yours truly to shoot down. And so I don't look at it as being really confrontational. It's just speaking the truth. And if I'm going to ruffle feathers, that's okay. It's if the ship is going down and we're about ready to die and I see a raft on the other side, I'm not going to care about my delivery. I'm going to yell, "There's a raft on the other side. We don't have to die." Right? No, I better not yell too loud because they may not like me. I should deliver it right. Let me go home and write inventory first, then come back and tell them about the raft on the other side of the ship. Right. I'll call my sponsor first. That's right. Should I tell them there's a raft so we don't have to die? No, just take... God'll do it for you. So we're going to get some heat. I belong to a group back in Brooklyn, my very first home group. And there were just a few of us, my first sponsor and a couple of us who work with the book. Compared to the majority of the group, who was just showing up and hanging around. And we were hated by our own home group. So I took a stand one day, and I says, we need to change format and be more of this book-oriented meeting. And somehow, we developed a speaker meeting, and speakers come in for an hour and go through the 12 steps from their experience from the big book. And about a third of that group boycotted the group. And that group in that town was looked upon as those people in that group. Don't go there. We took a stand. We caught a lot of heat. Yours truly, I caught most of the heat for whatever reasons, maybe because of my idea. What we attracted was people from other areas, like what's going on in my current home group. They were driving in from Staten Island, coming in from Jersey, from downtown Brooklyn, from Queens, to visit that group on a Wednesday night to hear someone give an hour pitch on the problem in the solution, the common peril and the common solution and in their experiences with God. And what came out of that was a lot of new prospects and people working with others. And the group flourished. The group soared for about 8 months, maybe a year. And then those people came back again. And we sat in on a business meeting, and little by slowly, it started to erode. They stopped voting things out, the sound asleep members. And now the group is down to one night a week. So we were talking about this earlier, how an awakened spirit can directly affect people in a positive way. And someone who's spiritually sick, for lack of a better term, will affect people in that way also. So when the solution was being talked about at a meeting through some heat, great things happened to that group, and lives were changed. Compared to when that wasn't going on, what took place? Then the group dies. So if you look at the sick prospect, the sick, untreated prospect, I go right to the sponsor. Because I'll lay odds from here to Vegas that the sponsor's also sick. And if the sponsor's sick, and you have members like that, you know the group is sick. But if you have someone who stands up and says, hey, we need to change this, or just share with pure intent to be helpful about this solution, and takes the heat, we will get twos and threes who will rally around us and want what we got to offer. And then we grow. Clarence, when they broke away from AA and they started their first group, those Oxford guys showed up at their meeting place and got very tough about stopping, shutting the place down. They caught tremendous heat. That group is starting this thing. They split off from us. We're going down there. I was just listening to a tape the other day about this. And he shares how they caught tremendous amount of heat. But we're here.
Real quick, in case I don't get a chance to mention this, my observations over the last 18 years of being sober, you know, when I was speaking from the podium the first 8 years of my sobriety, at 10 years, I would speak at groups like this, and it would be nothing to have half the group get up and leave. You know, really, I mean, I talked at an International Cocaine Anonymous meeting, was their keynote speaker, when I was about 13, 14 years sober. And it was 3,000 people in the auditorium, and about 800 of them got up in the middle of my talk and walked out. You want to talk about knocking the wind out of your sails? You know what I'm saying? But a lot of these same people that walked out are the ones that are inviting me back to their CA meetings today to carry the same exact message. Wasn't that I was trying to be heavy-handed or hard with these cats. It's that I get so passionate, so excited, because this works. This will change your life at a cellular level if you work the steps as outlined in the book. And who wouldn't want that? You know, it's like we talked about earlier. I don't want to be the same person I was at 13 or 14 years sober. And next year, when I come back, I don't want to be the same cat I was today. I want to have grown spiritually another year. And that's what I get to see in Peter, and that's what hopefully people get to see in me. And that, who could not get excited about that? But we're seeing in groups all over the world, and I mean literally all over the world, little Big Book Thumper groups starting up and taking all kinds of heat. Some of y'all later, ask me about the cats in Iceland that almost stoned out of their own country because they were carrying the message of hope. Now today they're responsible for XA speakers over there in Iceland who have been responsible for thousands of people hearing the message, clear message of recovery. Two little guys, 6 months sober, starting XA speakers. Nobody would let them do anything in AA because they hadn't been sober long enough. And they said, you know, to heck with you. We've had spiritual experiences. We have something to share. The cats in Copenhagen. I'm going to tell you something, guys. The guys in England, their primary purpose group that they just started. I mean, we're seeing this more and more and more, this huge reawakening to the clear message out of the book. This is not about just not drinking one day at a time. This is about having a completely changed life. How can you not get excited? But it's tough and it's scary if you're trying to do it in an area where they're not ready for it yet. It's an uphill battle. But you're not, I'm telling you, you're not alone. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails a week at my email address at work from people just like you cats trying to make some changes and watching them struggle at first, and then the thing catch fire and they're kicking butt and taking names. That's what we're after.
Interesting. In Iceland, back in the States, we're called Big Book Nazis, which is a horrible word to put the Big Book, right? And they were telling us in Iceland they're referred to as the Taliban. They're catching some heat, but they were sick and tired of watching their brothers and sisters die. And there's some primary purpose groups happening. The guys down Vito down in Pittsburgh and South Carolina, and it's just growing. So may feel like we're alone, but we're certainly not. And we're really not being controversial. It appears that we're controversial, but are we really? All we're doing is following what worked for so many before us. Why it's controversial? Because it's gotten so watered down and gobbled in some pockets. That's all. We're not controversial. Controversy is saying don't do the steps. That's controversial. You don't need God. That's controversial. Do a step a year. That's controversial. What we're doing is what God laid out in this book through a couple of drunks.
My name is George. I'm an alcoholic. I have a very specific question. You guys know by heart the first 164 pages of our book. You have more than 15 years experience with AA and working a lot, sponsoring a lot, etc. In your experience, have you seen or read anything which you thought was either wrong or badly explained in these first 164 pages? Why am I asking the question? Well, by curiosity first, but also because I heard Chris a few minutes ago saying, hey guys, the program doesn't say that spiritual awakening has to come after a certain time and it will take a degree of time, but if you read Annex 2 of the Big Book, for example, Annex 2 is a short passage of 1.5 pages which leaves it in a way which indicates that spiritual experience can come through the educational variety, which infers that it can take time. For example, this is what has happened to me. So what I'm trying to do is to, don't you have a few, in light of your experience, don't you think that there were a few things which were either wrong or badly written, or do you now consider that it's absolutely and perfectly correct? In light of your experience, I'm talking about the first 164 pages and the annexes, of course. Thanks.
Yeah, there's several areas in the book that I think they're vaguer than they needed to be. You know, rarely have we seen a person fail. I want to tell you, I've never seen a person fail that has thoroughly followed the path that got loaded again. I mean, I just don't. I understand. I appreciate you bringing the part up with it, because sometimes it's, what do you hear me say? The spiritual experience can be of an educational variety. It does not have to be a white light, I saw Jesus walking through the hall, spiritual experience. But I don't want to discount that kind of spiritual experience either, because they happen, and they happen often in our fellowship. What grinds me is that we have this idea that one kind of spiritual experience is better than another kind of spiritual experience. The cats that have the educational variety is still strong enough to change your life at levels that we don't even have the vocabulary to talk about. It is absolutely amazing what takes place as a result of this spiritual experience. The early cats in Alcoholics Anonymous, though, they were all working the steps rapidly, so they were all having spiritual experiences rapidly. Again, of an educational variety, perhaps. Different. My spiritual experience would be completely different than Peter's or George's or yours. Anybody, we all get our own kind of spiritual experience, but it's going to be strong enough to overcome the obsession to drink alcohol and to give you some power to deal with all the other stuff in your life. Where we got so far off the pages, when we had people in our meetings that started telling us to take our time, trying to be easy with a newcomer, easy does it, take your time to work the steps. What we did was we prolonged. It is cause and effect. I work the steps, I'm guaranteed to have a spiritual experience. You with us? If you want to take 9 months to work on a four step, you may not have a spiritual experience for 9 months. But I think the early guys in the history books talk very specifically about these pretty amazing spiritual experiences. But what they don't go on and say is that we were all working the steps very rapidly. It's cause and effect. Make sense? Yeah, I hope.